I think I preached a message along that line, some things that Mary did know. And Mary's story is a wonderful story. I'm sorry that tradition of religion has sort of muddled things about Mary, but she certainly was a chosen vessel of the Lord to birth the Son of God into this world. And she did not do that not knowing. She knew exactly what was taking place, and what a tremendous task that was for a young lady, probably maybe 16, 17 years old, and to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Mary knew, and thank God she knew, and he came, and now we know, and the blessings of the Lord and the salvation that he gives to us. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter number 13. 1 Samuel, chapter number 13. We'll be dealing with one of the great men of the Old Testament. And when you call out 1 and 2 Samuel, the man that jumps out in our minds is the man by the name of King David. He was a great man of faith and of the Lord, used of God, blessed of God. He is the greatest king that Israel ever had. He'll be only second to none when Jesus Christ rules as the king of Israel and of this world. And Jesus will take his place and his position upon a throne that is called the throne of David. And so we know by that that is very, very important character of the Old Testament in the history of Israel. In chapter number 13, it's amazing how you can read verses over and over again, and then all of a sudden something jumps out that you've never really noticed, or maybe you just passed over it. Of course, we know the king before David was King Saul. He was the people's choice. Israel wanted to be like every other nation. They wanted to have a king like everybody else did. And in doing that and wanting that, they rejected the theocracy over them, the rule of God. And now they wanted a man to be ruler over that nation. And the Lord gave them what they wanted. Sometimes the Lord gives us what we want, and sometimes when we get it, we can't handle it. And that's exactly what happened in Israel. And they had a king. His name was Saul. The Bible says he stood head and shoulders above all. He looked like a king. He acted like a king. He was that king that was given, or that man that was given the kingdom. But from the very beginning, his kingdom was doomed because he was not obedient unto the Lord. The verse that I read just this morning, after looking into all these things, I went back a few verses to read and get a background of what we'll be looking at. In chapter number 1 of 1 Samuel 13, the Bible says Saul reigned 1 year. Then the next part of that verse says, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel. I'm not going to give you the background of what all takes place in these next verses. But you'll notice it's in his second year of his reign as king. Now, he ruled 40 years, but this is in the very first of it. And this that is sort of what caught me that I'd never noticed before, because in verse number 8, Saul is waiting for Samuel to come. And Samuel doesn't come at the time that he told him it would, and Saul begins to get anxious about his people or his men that he has just chosen. They begin to scatter away from him. And in verse number 8 it says, and he tarried 7 days according to the time set that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed. And when the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me and to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Again, remember, this is in the second year of his reign. And he goes and he does the work of the priest. And that was forbidden for the king to do that. Well, he sees the thousands of men that he has gathered together under him beginning to scatter. And Saul, being the humanist that he was and the type of leader that he was more interested in his popularity than he was the presence of God. And so he intrudes into the office of the priest. He makes the offering that is against the will of God. And Samuel comes and he says, "For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Notice verse 14. "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Here we find the end of Saul's kingdom at the very beginning of it. We see him appointed and chosen by the people. And Samuel said, "God would have made your kingdom an everlasting kingdom, but because of what you did, the Lord is going to remove that and give it to a man that's after his own heart." And of course, we know that that man was King David. And so I want to just think a little bit this morning, and we'll do some turning in our Bibles here between 1 and 2 Samuel. And just notice some things about this man that is going to be the man that's after God's own heart. Now, Saul was the man after the heart of the people. David is the man. David is the king that's after the heart of God. And there's a vast difference in their understanding of the Lord. There's a vast difference in their attitude. There's a great difference in the way they conducted themselves. And of course, we know that David's kingdom will last forever and ever. Saul threw that away because he was afraid of losing the people that he had chosen. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, turn over just a few verses, or a few pages there. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we have, this is the chapter where David is chosen as king. Now, when he was chosen as king, he did not take over the kingdom. He waited a number of years for that to happen. But he had been chosen of the Lord, and we read the story of how it takes place. We find in verse number 5 that Samuel has come to Jesse's house. Jesse is the father of David. Jesse had a number of children, a number of boys. And they were very patriotic to their country, and they were very much a Jew. And so Samuel comes to Jesse's house under the leadership of the Lord, because the Lord had told him, said, "You go to Jesse's house, that Bethlehemite." In verse number 1, he says, "For I have provided me a king among his sons." So Samuel goes to Jesse's household, for the Lord has told him, "In that household is my king." So Samuel went, knowing what he was doing, where he was going, and what it was for. Now, in verse number 5, this is Samuel speaking. Says, he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice, and the Lord sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked upon Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." And those next verses, Jesse has all his sons come before Samuel. Someone might ask, why did the Lord specifically say, don't look upon his countenance? Well, he's not going to be like Saul. Saul was a very, an attractive individual. He said, don't look upon his countenance or even his height or the stature, the height of his body. Saul stood head and shoulders. He said, that's not what I'm looking for. And God told Samuel, said, I'm looking for someone that has a heart, someone that has a heart that would follow after me. He said, don't look on the outward appearance, for the Lord looks upon the heart. So he made all the sons come by, and they've all come as far as Samuel knew. In verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So there's one missing, and that is that man called David. Just a young boy at this time, taking care of his father's flock. Now, you'll notice they were all called to the sacrifice. Jesse and his sons were called by Samuel to the sacrifice. They were all consecrated in verse number 5. He tells them not to look upon the outward appearance that might they think would fit the bill, might look the part, might do what, humanly speaking, we would think would be. But he says, I want a man of character. And of course, we find David being that one, wanted one after his own heart. And so Samuel says, we're not going to leave. We're not going to sit down. The sacrifice is not over until David, the younger, comes. I remember, I don't know if anybody else remembers. I know one man that remembers this message that I preached a long time ago when I first came here, maybe even before I became pastor. And I preached on this passage, we will not sit down till he comes. Now, Tom Ferris remembers that message. It touched his heart, and he asked me the other day, he said, do you remember preaching that message? And I was sort of shocked that he remembered me preaching that message. And I preached on the coming of the Lord. We're to be busy until he comes, until the Lord comes. But here we find Samuel says, we're not going to move. We're not going to sit down until this one comes by. And Samuel realizes he's looking for a man that's after the heart of God. He's wanting the king to be a man that will follow the leadership of the Lord. He's wanting a king. God desired a king now, not of countenance, not of wisdom, not of understanding, not of good looks. He's wanting a man that will have his heart dedicated to the things of the Lord. And so he knows the king is in the family of Jesse. God's already told him that. But every one of those guys and those children come by, and God says, no, it's not him. No, it's not him. There's one missing. And I'm sure when Jesse told Samuel, said, I have one yet, he's not here. I'm sure Samuel's heart jumped within him, and he probably said in his heart, that's probably the man. That is the man, because all of these others have come by, and God said no. And so he calls David, and David when he comes by, Samuel is told of the Lord that he is that man. The Bible says in verse number 12, and he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the man that is the man after my own heart. And I want us to just notice four or five things about David this morning in his life, how that he was used of the Lord, how that he was honored of God, and how he honored God in his dealings with people. And of course, we know the greatest king that Israel ever had. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, where we read, and we find that the man of God had come by, and he had come to the town, and everybody, when the man of God came, and during that day, when the man of God came to town, everybody in town knew it, and the first thing they were in their heart was that they were afraid that he was coming because of something wrong in the town or something wrong in the city. And Samuel tells them, he said, I've come here to sacrifice. I've come here to worship. And so we find that David is out doing what his father had told him to do. I just wrote down here, we see the faithfulness that David had to his flock. He says, I have one. He's out in the field, and he's taking care and tending to the sheep. He keepeth the sheep. He's out there doing what I've asked him to do, and he's very faithful to the work of the Lord. You know, the thing that God needs this morning and this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day and next year is just simply people that will be faithful to the people of the Lord, that we would be faithful to him and follow him and honor him. We find that his brothers didn't care too much about that. They didn't think too much about David's life and what David was doing. Later on, we'll find out that they belittle the flock that David takes care of. They sort of make fun of that. But David was a man that was full of faithfulness to his father. He did what his father asked him to do. Samuel said, do you not have any other children? Is there no other? And Samuel says, behold, he keepeth the sheep. He's not doing something out of the ordinary. He's not doing something spectacular. He's just out in the field being what? A shepherd. Taking care of the sheep. Taking care of the needs that they had. I'm glad this morning, thank God, we have a great shepherd. We have a good shepherd. We have the shepherd that's called Jesus Christ. And he takes care of our needs. He takes care of us. He is faithful to you and I. But David is a type and a picture here of the Lord doing that and being faithful unto what God asked him to do. The Bible tells us Jesus, even himself, told his disciples, he said, I could call legions of angels to take care of me. But he was faithful to the task that was put before him. Therefore, he came to this world, to a world that hated and despised him, rejected him, and finally crucified him on the cross of Calvary, but he did it because of the faithfulness to his father, and now he becomes our good shepherd. Now he becomes that shepherd that takes care of us, and he clothes us, he feeds us, he leads us. Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And David understood what it meant to be a shepherd. He said, he leads me beside still waters. And all the things there in Psalm 23, David was comparing maybe what he had done for his sheep that he is tending as a young man to what the Lord was doing for him. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank God this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's your shepherd if you belong to him, if you're a child of God. And so God's looking for a man. And he tells us there in chapter 13, verse 14, he says, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord has sought out a man. The Lord has found a man. And you go to Jesse's house and you'll find him there. And he had to be the last one that come by. The first one that came by, Samuel was very impressed with him. Samuel said, surely this is the Lord's choice. Here this Eliab, he is that one that comes before him. And he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Surely that's the man. But the problem with Samuel, he looked through human eyes, and he's seeing the same thing in Eliab that they maybe saw in Saul, because he looked good, he acted good, he had good stature. Everything about Saul was a perfect political choice. But my, his life, what a disaster it was, and how that he led Israel in later years away from God and away from the things of the Lord. But David is that one that is faithful, and God's looking for that type of king. And God's looking for that type of individual with you and I this morning, just to be found faithful. Jesus said all that's required of a steward or a keeper is that he be found faithful. All the Lord wants of us, really and truly, is that we be faithful. And if we'll be faithful, everything else falls in line. Everything else is just a byproduct of faithfulness. And so may God help us to be that type of person that the Lord is looking for, a person that's after the heart of God and desires the things of the Lord. Now, if you would turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 5, and we'll read something else about David. Time you get to 2 Samuel 5, David is, he has become king, and all the people of Israel follow after him. David had a faithfulness to the flock, and he also had a fondness for the family, the people of God, the people of Israel. 2 Samuel 5:1 says, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy blood and thy flesh." David, you're a part of us, and we are a part of you. We are thy bone. We are thy flesh. We are the tribes of Israel, and we are the bone and thy flesh. And David, we're a part of what you are. He is faithful, and the family is faithful to him. The Bible tells us as a child of God, we have a family this morning. You and I that are believers, that are Christians, we are in a great family. Not only is it a great family, it's a great big family. I heard somebody say the other day they had a family reunion and they had 55 or 56 people there. I cannot imagine that. I don't have that large. When my mother was living, I'd tell people I had a family reunion every time I went to see my mom, because that's about all that was left, me and her. And so I don't understand the vastness of a family. But here David had a family, it's called the tribes of Israel. And they said, "We are your blood, we are your bone, we are your flesh, and we are going to follow after you." And you and I this morning, as the family of God, as the people of the Lord, we have a great large family. It's not just in Grace Baptist Church, it's not in all the churches in Hopkins County, it's not all the churches in Kentucky, it's not even all the churches in the United States that have children of God. Thank God our family is worldwide. Every nation that's on this planet this morning that has believers in it, we may never meet until we get to heaven. We cannot maybe communicate without somebody helping us, but whoever they are, wherever they are, if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, thank God we're in a large family. It's called the family of God. David was this man that had a desire to lead his people and to lead the family that God had given him and those 12 tribes of Israel. We are to have a spirit of true love for the brethren. The Bible calls it unfeigned love in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. It says, "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And so you and I this morning not only would be found faithful to the flock, but we ought to be caring for the family of God, for the people of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren." We love the people. We love the folks that are in our family. 1 John 3:16, "Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." The scripture calls the family of God the brethren, the people of the Lord, the people of God that have followed after him. And David had a faithfulness in his heart, and he loved his nation. He loved his people. He guided his people with a fervent heart and with a heart of believing and trusting the Lord. And if it meant to fight, then he was very fearless in his fight. He was able to fight the battle. In 2 Samuel 5, in verse number 2, where we just read, it says, "Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadest out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel." And so here we find that even when Saul was king, David was used of God to fight the battle. He became that that warrior. He became that one that was a battler. And the reason that David could not build the temple of the Lord, because David was a man of war. David was a man of bloodshed. And the Lord says, my house is a house of prayer. It's to be a place. And David was not permitted. He desired to build a temple of the Lord. But his son Solomon was able to do that. And David said, I may not can build it, but I can get things ready for it. And he very fervently got everything ready for the building of the greatest temple that's ever been built upon this earth. It's called Solomon's Temple. And so David here is used of the Lord, and he is fearless in his fight. He was a man of action. He comes at one time and says, is there not a cause? When Goliath was standing before the army of Israel, David comes and he said, isn't there a cause? Why are my brothers standing off to the side? Why are they not in the battle? Isn't there a reason for going to battle? I don't like battles. I don't like warfare. But sometimes the battle cannot be avoided because of the truth that must be stood for. I believe we're in a great battle today for the battle of the Word of God. I believe we're in a battle today for the principles of God's Word. We're in a battle spiritually for that, and sometimes in a physical way we must stand and proclaim truth when people around us would not want to hear that and does not want to hear. We still have to abide by the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, and so therefore we must be fearless in our fight. Contend for the faith as once delivered unto the saints. So David is a man of action. He says, is there not a cause? Saul, why are you not leading the battle? Now remember, Saul is the king. David is the anointed king. He's going to be king, and David comes and says, isn't there a reason for the battle? Well, I was standing here and laying this uncircumcised man from Gath that's maybe 10 foot tall. Why are we letting him curse our God like he does? Isn't there a cause that we stand and fight? That was David's character, and God said, I want a man after my heart. I want a man that's willing to fight the battle if need be. He would become captain over Israel. When he was only 30 years old, he became the king of Israel, God's people. And the Bible says he reigned for 40 years. So we know David, when he was 70 years old, his reign was over. He died. And we have much of the history given to us in the Scripture of the greatness of this man called King David. And what made him great was that he was a man after the heart of God. He had the ability to be faithful. He had the ability to love his brethren. He was fearless in the fight. And he was even able to overlook foolishness. He was able to overlook those things that would be said against him and not fight that battle. Go to 1 Samuel 17. Just back and forth between these two books. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the chapter of the defiance of Goliath, where Goliath is cursing them and mocking the God of Israel. And David comes from doing what? Tending the flock. He's the shepherd. And notice verse number 28. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 28. And Eliab, that's the one that Samuel said, maybe that surely is the king. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Here's big brother talking down to young David. Here's the brother that thinks he probably should have been king. Because I'm sure Samuel probably was very vocal. Well, when he came across in front of him, he said, surely this is the man. This is the anointed. And all of a sudden, David is that little ruddy kid that comes from the field that's tending the flock. Tending the sheep. And he's chosen king. He's anointed king. And now some time has gone by, and David comes from tending those sheep, and he hears what's taking place. And he comes before them. He says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he anyway?" And older brother says, "Well, who are you anyway?" Older brother says, "What are you doing here? Why don't you just go take care of those few little sheep you've got?" Boy, he's talking down to him. Well, there may have been a few sheep, and they may have been something insignificant to Eliab, but those sheep was important to David. And by the way, they were not even his sheep. They were his father's sheep. He was taking care of his father's business. David's character wouldn't allow him to argue. And David, he hears all of this, and he says, "Those few sheep in the wilderness, I know thy pride." Here now, older brother says, I know who you think you are. "I know thy pride and thy haughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that I might see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done?" David, almost in shock and amazement, he said, "What am I guilty of?" And older brother says, "I know your pride. I know your arrogance, your haughtiness. You're just coming down to watch the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David says, "Is there not a reason to fight? Is there not a reason to go to battle?" And he turned, verse number 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. Everyone's against him. But David said, "You go let me find 5 stones and I'll go to battle. He didn't argue with his brothers. He didn't go back with them other than ask the question, what am I guilty of? What have I done?" And he just turns and the rest of the story. He goes and finds 5 smooth stones. And he goes out to Goliath, and Goliath mocks him and makes fun of him and makes fun of Israel. And David takes that 1 stone. And that stone was guided to the one place that would destroy Goliath. And David put that stone in that sling. He began to spin it and he let it go. And the stone hit him right between the eyes, the only spot on his armor that was not covered. You say, "Boy, David was a good shot." No, God knew where to send it. David was just an instrument. David was just faithful. David was willing. David would go to battle, even against all odds and against his family and against the mockery of his brothers. And of course, we know that Goliath falls, and David takes Goliath's sword and cuts off his head. The stone didn't kill him. The stone knocked him down. The sword cut his head off. All because David was faithful. All because David was willing to be used, have forgiveness in his heart, not argue with his family, not argue with his brother, not even argue with his members of his own nation. Because he knew where he was headed. He knew that one day he was going to be captain of Israel. And I believe David focused on what was yet in the future. You know, we can all look back at the back. Somebody has said 2020... vision is only when you look backwards, and that's probably true. As we look forward, we don't see it all. As we look forward, we do not have total vision and understand. We look back and say, "Wow, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done that." That makes our vision pretty good. But when we look forward, we're not sure. And that's why we must depend upon the Lord, because He is sure, and He does know. And David focused upon the future that was ahead of him in just a few years. I read this somewhere and wrote it down. David started in a cave full of men that were considered miserable men. And David ended in a cave full of mighty men. Through the leadership of King David, they became the fiercest fighting group of men that Israel had ever seen. And the Bible tells us they were just common, everyday people. They were not notable people. They were not rich people. They were just men that loved David, loved the Lord, and loved their country. He didn't let the fact that he was alone many times haunt him. He was willing to just go forward. He took those men that had surrounded him, and instead of focusing on their failures, he focused upon their future. He had been anointed to be the next king of Israel, and he wasn't even able to sleep in his own bed. He was sleeping in a cave. But that did not deter this young man called David. He started building an army and that one day would make the will of God for his life a reality. They're called David's mighty men. Let me turn over here just for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 22. David is in rejection, but he has his men. He gathers his men to him. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now notice the type of men that David had. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And the next statement is very important. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. What type of men did David have that became mighty men? Well, they were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontented. God can take us no matter what condition we find ourselves in. I can be discouraged. I can be in debt. I can be discontented. I can be all of these things plus many more. But if I be found faithful to the Lord, God can make us willing vessels. God can make us individuals that we might look miserable to begin with, all but one day God's going to show us how mighty we can be. We are then the army of the Lord. We are servants of God. And those men were servants of the Lord, but they had to have a captain. You don't get very far in battle unless you got somebody leading you. You don't get very far in the battle unless somebody has final say or final authority. And David became their captain. Those men that were in debt, those men that were discontented, those men that were, as far as the world was concerned, probably dishonorable, they became men that would fight to the very death of themselves for that man called David. Because they trusted him. He had proven himself over and over and over again. You know, we are in debt. We are sometimes discontented. Sometimes we are discouraged. But I'm thankful so much this morning that we have a captain. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our soul. He's the overshadower of our lives. He is our deliverer. And we may be in debt, and we may be discouraged, and we may have all those things you want to put down as a problem, but thank God, if we'll follow Him, He'll lead us to one day we'll see the mightiness of our God. There's a future for the people of the Lord, and one of these days, our captain's coming. And he's not going to come to a cave. He's not going to come to a manger. He's coming in the sky. And we're going to see him. We're going to hear him. And we're going to go up to be with him. Praise the Lord, we have a captain. And the Bible gives us this man David is a type and a picture of the captain of our salvation. King David, the mighty man of God. The man that that the Lord said is a man after my heart. Oh, was he perfect in everything he did? No, he was a man. He was a human. Did he have his sins? Sure he did. And we know them. The scripture reveals some of those things about David. But it never does change the fact that he was a man after God's heart. And God honored him and God blessed him. Even though he had to rebuke him and chasten him, God says he's still that man. Let's stand together this morning. May God help us to be that man.